Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, this is Klaatu, and we're going to talk about Firakkas today. Firakkas is the Lord Beneath, the Earth Trimmer. He is the god of mountains, mining, and caverns. His worshippers are earthbound races, miners, and stonecrafters. His alignment is neutral. His domains are earth, fire, luck, and strength. His subdomains are ash, caves, curse, and ferocity. His favorite weapon is the heavy pick, and his favorite animal is the mole. His icon is that of a volcano, or some might describe it as an inverted volcano almost. So the sort of a mountain that kind of reveals that underneath this mountain there's fire and chaos. There are many legends about Firakkas, and his origin is hotly debated, if you'll pardon the pun. Dwarves predictably claim him as their own. Gnomes also claim him as their own. And even some humans claim him as their own, based on cave engravings that, as far as the humans say, predate the other races, the claims of the other races. Firakkas is said to have emerged from the fires of the very first volcano in the multiverse when it erupted, and this was not on this world, it was on a world that is long since gone. When he was born from the volcano eruption, he looked out over the over the sea and the sky and saw that there was no place for him, so he went back into the earth and dwelt there and made that his home. He left the volcano from whence he came, spewing hot lava over the earth around it, as a message to the other gods that whatever they create, he can destroy. Whatever they raise, he can burn. Whatever marvels are crafted on this thin, cold shell of earth, he can destroy, because it rests upon his domain. This policy is central to the legend of Firakkas, but it's also subject to some different interpretations. The most prominent interpretation of this is just that everything is temporary. Nothing lasts forever. Everything returns to Earth eventually, or disaster can strike at any moment. Almost a hint of chaotic alignment, even. But other people take it a lot differently, and they believe it to mean that the world should be burned, and that everything that is created should be torn down. The Church of Firakkas has two major sects. The first is the most common. They keep shrines and temples of solid rock, where the wisdom of earth and fire is passed from priests to followers. Tends to be, you know, like any other church of any other major god. It's sort of a traditional kind of church. It's just very attuned to crafters and artisans and cave dwellers and explorers. Most priests of Firakkas are very familiar with the underground. They are very skilled advisors and guides in all things having to do with spelunking and caving and exploring the underground areas. The other sect of Firakkas exists only in the shadow and in the deepest parts of the underworld. These holy sites are little more than a few symbols carved into stone walls with a single caretaking priest. These shrines, called Scoria Shrines, cater to the god's darker devotees and provide services more like maybe a thieves or assassins guild. Obviously, this is the sect that interprets Firakkas's message a little bit more, maybe chaotic than the true neutral sect does. But Firakkas himself, of course, is true neutral. Despite their differing natures, the two sects actually get along. They do not oppose one another, and they're able to find common ground in their worship of Firakkas rather than concentrating on the differences between their interpretations of some of his messages. Spell preparation rituals are not based on the rotation of of the planet around the sun, as many are, because most of Firakis's followers are underground. They wouldn't know when it was sunlight or moonrise or moonset or sunset or anything. So it's a biological clock. They just prepare their prayers and spells before bed. A full rest is part of their preparation, meaning a priest of Firakis that is interrupted while sleeping fails to regain their spells until they get a full 6 hours of restful sleep. There are two religious traits. Bane from below. Whenever you flank a target, you gain a +1 target bonus to damage. If you have the sneak ability, you can add this bonus damage to your sneak attack damage as well. Skill of the Unseen. Whenever you make a skill check to cut a gem or work stone or perform any action as described under the ability of stone cutting, you gain a +1 trait bonus to your roll. This bonus also applies if you're aiding another with such an activity. Firakis is a little bit of a surprise to me. I had really expected him to be much more of a Vulcan kind of god, sort of a made-to-order, under-the-volcano, forging iron and steel type of god, but he turns out to be more of a mining god, which is kind of cool. I like this flavor. His duality suits his true neutral really, really well. I like the idea that there's a god who sort of declared this one thing and as a result gets to, not opposed, but sort of opposite end of the spectrum sects that then interpret that message. It's just so realistic to me. In fact, the most unrealistic thing about that is that the two sects do not fight constantly. And I think in a campaign that I was running, if I needed some kind of built-in conflict, I could see it being these two halves of the Firakian church. I think that would be kind of interesting, even though it explicitly says that they totally get along and that Firakis unites them. But I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like I would probably pit them against each other. Either way, it's an interesting god. It's, again, sort of the obvious pick for your dwarf culture, maybe your gnome culture. But it's sort of strength and destructive, so maybe, or maybe not destructive, but the leveler of the playing field, I guess. So I could see him being a god for several different races, really. Any race who makes their way underground for whatever reason, I could see them kind of coming into contact with Firakis and Firakis' followers and falling in line. I don't mean to turn every neutral god into a reference to Indiana Jones, but just as Chiuta kind of awoke that desire to don my fedora and go into the jungles to explore, I feel like Firakis is really calling out to me to explore the minor sects that worship him and totally make it into a Temple of Doom. That's what I see. I know it's got nothing to do with that. There's no similarity whatsoever. But an underground lair where people are ripping people's hearts out with their bare hands and dipping them into molten lava, it's just perfect. It's perfect. I would very much like to see that. And I think there's enough flexibility in the fact that Firakis himself is a neutral god that this evil sect or this sect who is just bent on destruction would be a surprise. It would be a real shocker because your players would think, that's not what we were told Firakis was all about, you know, from if you introduce them in-game to that religion, to the major sect, and then surprise, you know, here's this sect that wants to tear everything down. That would be a neat one. That would be very cool. So anyway, that's Firakis. That's all I've got on him. Obviously a very fun god, very intriguing, lots to work with. And the next time we'll talk about Maikita, and then we'll be finished with a neutral group. Before I close this episode out, I should mention two things. One, I haven't really given the location of where you can find this fine source material, so I'll give you that now, just in case you've been wondering. DriveThruRPG, that's DriveThruRPG.com/product/102 102-872. That's 102-872. You can get The Gods of Porphyra as a PDF or as a softcover printed book. So you can put it on your bookshelf next to all of your player handbooks and DM guides and monster manuals and bestiaries. It's well worth it. It's only about $10, so it's got a lot of great material, and in addition to what I've been talking about on this podcast, it has other juicy chapters that I won't be covering at all, such as some new spells for, you know, the different domains, and a couple of new domains that are not in the core rulebooks, and just other little things that I don't mention because I'm not trying to read the entire book to you. So if you want to get that book, you can find it at drivethroughrpg.com/product/102872. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.